Negyedik. Origótípusú beszédértést mérő vizsga. A következőkben két idegen nyelvű szöveget fog hallani. Mindkét szöveget háromszor hallgathatja meg. Minden meghallgatás szünet követ. Kérjük, hogy kövesse a feladatlap utasításait. Most olvassa el a feladatlapon az első szöveghez tartozó kérdéseket. Az első szöveg első meghallgatása következik.
Set 4, Task 1. Origin of Idioms.
Welcome to Radio Leicester's Ask an Expert Hour. We have Professor Rob Fishbone from the University of Loughborough's English Department here in the studio to answer all your idiom-related inquiries. So, Prof, please start us off by introducing your topic.
Thank you, May, and thanks for having me here. Hello, listeners. Today we will talk about the origins of idioms. The origins of idioms are sometimes hard to prove. This is because history moves on and the details are lost to their original source. As with lots of other historical data, there are primary sources and secondary sources, and also the fact that language changes constantly. Most idioms started with an event that is memorable or funny, and became reported or widely known to the public, thereby generating a kind of meme, which it might be referred to nowadays in internet terminology.
Okay, Professor. We have a question sent in from one of our listeners here. Margaret wonders what the origin of a red herring was.
A good question. Firstly, as you probably already know, a red herring is often found in politics, or even in mystery or detective novels. In politics, for example, a speaker may be talking about something that is slightly or completely off the topic and different from the main point in dispute. The local Leicester MP recently defended his own policies regarding public safety, saying that he had worked hard to help eliminate criminal activity. He immediately added that all we needed was economic growth, that could only come from the hands of leadership. He changes the subject so the questioner will not focus on his political flaws. In a mystery novel, vivid descriptions are given of a masked intruder who enters the room where the murdered person is ultimately found. These descriptions lead the reader to assume that this masked intruder was the killer, when actually he is not.
I see. But what's the origin of the idiom?
The origins of it are commonly thought to come from fox hunting, a blood sport in which hounds chase foxes by following the scent of their trail. It was thought that rubbing a red herring, a salted and cured herring, across the fox's trail would be enough to throw the hounds off the scent and send them into a state of confusion. The fox would then escape.
Thank you, Professor. That's awesome. So interesting.
Most egy perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladatlapon szereplő kérdésekre a válaszadást megkezdje magyar nyelven. A szöveget még kétszer fogja hallani. A meghallgatások után 3-3 perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladatlapon szereplő kérdésekre válaszoljon. A második meghallgatás következik.
Set 4, Task 1. Origin of Idioms.
Welcome to Radio Leicester's Ask an Expert Hour. We have Professor Rob Fishbone from the University of Loughborough's English Department here in the studio to answer all your idiom-related inquiries. So, Prof, please start us off by introducing your topic.
Thank you, May, and thanks for having me here. Hello, listeners. Today we will talk about the origins of idioms. The origins of idioms are sometimes hard to prove. This is because history moves on and the details are lost to their original source. As with lots of other historical data, there are primary sources and secondary sources, and also the fact that language changes constantly. Most idioms started with an event that is memorable or funny, and became reported or widely known to the public, thereby generating a kind of meme, which it might be referred to nowadays in internet terminology.
Okay, Professor. We have a question sent in from one of our listeners here. Margaret wonders what the origin of a red herring was.
A good question. Firstly, as you probably already know, a red herring is often found in politics, or even in mystery or detective novels. In politics, for example, a speaker may be talking about something that is slightly or completely off the topic and different from the main point in dispute. The local Leicester MP recently defended his own policies regarding public safety, saying that he had worked hard to help eliminate criminal activity. He immediately added that all we needed was economic growth that could only come from the hands of leadership. He changes the subject so the questioner will not focus on his political flaws. In a mystery novel, vivid descriptions are given of a masked intruder who enters the room where the murdered person is ultimately found. These descriptions lead the reader to assume that this masked intruder was the killer, when actually he is not.
I see. But what's the origin of the idiom?
The origins of it are commonly thought to come from fox hunting, a blood sport in which hounds chase foxes by following the scent of their trail. It was thought that rubbing a red herring, a salted and cured herring, across the fox's trail would be enough to throw the hounds off the scent and send them into a state of confusion. The fox would then escape.
Thank you, Professor. That's awesome. So interesting.
A harmadik meghallgatás következik.
Set 4, Task 1. Origin of Idioms.
Welcome to Radio Leicester's Ask an Expert Hour. We have Professor Rob Fishbone from the University of Loughborough's English Department here in the studio to answer all your idiom-related inquiries. So, Prof, please start us off by introducing your topic.
Thank you, May, and thanks for having me here. Hello, listeners. Today we will talk about the origins of idioms. The origins of idioms are sometimes hard to prove. This is because history moves on and the details are lost to their original source. As with lots of other historical data, there are primary sources and secondary sources, and also the fact that language changes constantly. Most idioms started with an event that is memorable or funny, and became reported or widely known to the public, thereby generating a kind of meme, which it might be referred to nowadays in internet terminology.
Okay, Professor. We have a question sent in from one of our listeners here. Margaret wonders what the origin of a red herring was.
A good question. Firstly, as you probably already know, a red herring is often found in politics, or even in mystery or detective novels. In politics, for example, a speaker may be talking about something that is slightly or completely off the topic and different from the main point in dispute. The local Leicester MP recently defended his own policies regarding public safety, saying that he had worked hard to help eliminate criminal activity. He immediately added that all we needed was economic growth, that could only come from the hands of leadership. He changes the subject so the questioner will not focus on his political flaws. In a mystery novel, vivid descriptions are given of a masked intruder who enters the room where the murdered person is ultimately found. These descriptions lead the reader to assume that this masked intruder was the killer, when actually he is not.
I see. But what's the origin of the idiom?
The origins of it are commonly thought to come from fox hunting, a blood sport in which hounds chase foxes by following the scent of their trail. It was thought that rubbing a red herring, a salted and cured herring, across the fox's trail would be enough to throw the hounds off the scent and send them into a state of confusion. The fox would then escape.
Thank you, Professor. That's awesome. So interesting.
Kérjük, hogy olvassa el a második szöveghez tartozó feladatot. A második szöveg első meghallgatása következik.
Task 2. Digitized societies. We've all been there, standing in an endless queue in a government building, staring into space, waiting for what seems like endless hours to fill out reams of forms at the tax office or Department of Motor Vehicles. How do you kill time during such a boring wait, only to do more boring tasks in a boring place? Most likely, it means scrolling through your phone, or sometimes checking email, Instagramming, even tweeting about how bored you are. So why can't we just fill out all those forms, or run similarly bureaucratic errands, on that same smartphone? Still, in 2017, the year of cashless payments and fingerprint-locked gadgets and handheld video chatting, we can't do all of our government-related tasks online, in one place and in one fell swoop. In a certain Baltic country, you can. Estonia, the small nation of 1.3 million nestled in the nooks of northeastern Europe. The same country that gave birth to Skype has been aiming at a 100% digitized society with laser focus since the 1990s. Experts far and away agree that the country's online government initiative, an effort called e-Estonia, is the world model for how a government can successfully and conveniently move the bulk of its services to a single online platform. The e-Estonia website says the programme is the evolution of the e-state. Launched in 1997, it's let citizens file taxes online since 2000, and allows Estonians to obtain medical prescriptions and test results, sign documents, or even vote and allow foreigners to become e-residents, all online. And they're not alone. Finland, Japan and Cyprus have all taken cues from Estonia, either working with Estonian companies to build e-tax platforms in their own countries, for example, or copying the Estonian ID card system, which assigns each citizen a catch-all ID that can be used for purposes ranging from social security to voting to disaster response.
Most fél perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladat megoldását megkezdje magyar nyelven. A szöveget még kétszer fogja hallani. A meghallgatások után egy-egy perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladatot megoldja. A második meghallgatás következik.
Task 2. Digitized societies. We've all been there, standing in an endless queue in a government building, staring into space, waiting for what seems like endless hours to fill out reams of forms at the tax office or Department of Motor Vehicles. How do you kill time during such a boring wait, only to do more boring tasks in a boring place? Most likely, it means scrolling through your phone, or sometimes checking email, Instagramming, even tweeting about how bored you are. So why can't we just fill out all those forms, or run similarly bureaucratic errands, on that same smartphone? Still, in 2017, the year of cashless payments and fingerprint-locked gadgets and handheld video chatting, we can't do all of our government-related tasks online, in one place and in one fell swoop. In a certain Baltic country, you can. Estonia, the small nation of 1.3 million nestled in the nooks of northeastern Europe. The same country that gave birth to Skype has been aiming at a 100% digitized society with laser focus since the 1990s. Experts far and away agree that the country's online government initiative, an effort called e-Estonia, is the world model for how a government can successfully and conveniently move the bulk of its services to a single online platform. The e-Estonia website says the programme is the evolution of the e-state. Launched in 1997, it's let citizens file taxes online since 2000 and allows Estonians to obtain medical prescriptions and test results, sign documents, or even vote and allow foreigners to become e-residents, all online. And they're not alone. Finland, Japan, and Cyprus have all taken cues from Estonia, either working with Estonian companies to build e-tax platforms in their own countries, for example, or copying the Estonian ID card system, which assigns each citizen a catch-all ID that can be used for purposes ranging from social security to voting to disaster response.
A harmadik meghallgatás következik.
Task 2. Digitized societies. We've all been there, standing in an endless queue in a government building, staring into space, waiting for what seems like endless hours to fill out reams of forms at the tax office or Department of Motor Vehicles. How do you kill time during such a boring wait, only to do more boring tasks in a boring place? Most likely, it means scrolling through your phone, or sometimes checking email, Instagramming, even tweeting about how bored you are. So why can't we just fill out all those forms, or run similarly bureaucratic errands, on that same smartphone? Still, in 2017, the year of cashless payments and fingerprint-locked gadgets and handheld video chatting, we can't do all of our government-related tasks online, in one place and in one fell swoop. In a certain Baltic country, you can. Estonia, the small nation of 1.3 million nestled in the nooks of northeastern Europe. The same country that gave birth to Skype has been aiming at a 100% digitized society with laser focus since the 1990s. Experts far and away agree that the country's online government initiative, an effort called e-Estonia, is the world model for how a government can successfully and conveniently move the bulk of its services to a single online platform. The e-Estonia website says the programme is the evolution of the e-state. Launched in 1997, it's let citizens file taxes online since 2000 and allows Estonians to obtain medical prescriptions and test results, sign documents, or even vote and allow foreigners to become e-residents, all online. And they're not alone. Finland, Japan, and Cyprus have all taken cues from Estonia, either working with Estonian companies to build e-tax platforms in their own countries, for example, or copying the Estonian ID card system, which assigns each citizen a catch-all ID that can be used for purposes ranging from social security to voting to disaster response.
Munkáját köszönjük, és kérjük, tegye le a tollat.